Hello to our Patreon members. Shout out time. Our project managers are Tony Zane, Jimmy Fata, Henry Backer, Bill Grease, Mug members, George Valenzuela, Marcus Von B. We've also got, naturally, our Jimbotron members and David Johnson, David Michaud, Graham Ramstead, Jason Doerr, Renee Brindamore, Ryan Lett. Thanks to all of you and to our great sponsors, Jim K. Ford and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome big to the day. Program. It is a big day. Yes. Oh, it's a huge day. I don't know why. I mean, it's we've been about 12 days since our last episode, but we're glad to be here once again. I'm keen to know, why is it a big day, James?
Well, I'll tell you what, Stevie. I can't tell you how turned on I get when I see you pushing my buttons, okay, to fix these levels. I got two laptops that and obviously I've come. No, I've never. I haven't come a long way with any of it. I never have, Steve, in the last. Ever since the day I went to the fax machine waiting for an email, Steve, I am no further ahead.
Yeah.
No, no further. That was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so, you got on there, man, and I see you pushing buttons for. I got a new little thing here, and boom, boom, when I see you doing it, I got to wipe my brow, Stevie.
Yeah.
I got to wipe my brow.
So let's see.
What happened to your fucking face, man? What is wrong with you?
In the night, I was lying in bed, the sweetest slumber of all, and my cat decided to run across my face.
Oh, no.
Yeah, cats are always spooked by nothing. Just all of a sudden decide they have to run in the other room for no apparent reason. And I got a couple between the eyes there.
Bridge of the nose and up. Yeah.
Yeah. Got me good.
Yeah. I have, I'll tell you mine. I've told you before. So I was sleeping on my back. I think with a shirt off. Okay. I had my shirt off and I was sleeping on the couch.
Ew.
And the cat was sleeping on my chest.
Ooh.
Okay. Anyway, I kind of wheeled around and I hit a coffee cup or something on the coffee table, and the cat dug in, Stevie, and took off at a million miles an hour.
Yikes. That's not good.
I said, fuck me. It looked like I got whipped. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
cats, and you go like this, you go, you fucking cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And you there with an upper body like a milk bag. That's not helping things either.
What do you got? Oh, that's funny. Anyway, my cat.
Did you see how I spun right away from that? Oh, my God.
That was good.
Yeah. Jeez.
Jesus Christ.
My cat story of the week, though, is the my daughter's cat.
Uh-oh.
It's a two-year-old cat, and it apparently has something called FIP, and is basically COVID for cats.
FIP?
FIP. Yeah, I don't know what it stands for. Some sign, I think it's FIP, FIP, I'm not sure. But there's no cure for it. There's one in the UK.
I can think of a cure for it.
Yeah. Well, you won't believe this. The price of the medication for this FIP, it's, I guess, experimental, 80% success rate. I've heard from people who've used it successfully. This medication has come from the UK, and it is $4,000. What are you doing? Yeah.
My ex-wife had a good policy about the pets. There was always a couple of pets in our house.
Yeah.
From lizards to dogs to cats to, at its peak, it was a couple of dogs and a cat. All of which are gone, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And the reason they're gone, it was actually a decision when to fix the cat was going to be $4,000 or.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of harsh. Like, you know, the animal lover out there will be going, what? You had your cat put down because you didn't want to pay the money?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer's yes.
Right. Well, I mean, even that person who's complaining about you saying that.
Does that make me a bad guy, Steve?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody's got their price. There will be a price like, hey, this treatment is going to cost so much, you're going to lose your house and you'll be living on the street.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Somebody, there's, everybody's got a certain, you know, panic point where they'll go, yeah. I'm not paying that exactly. And that would have been there for me. I would have said, oh, that's unfortunate. That really is unfortunate, but it's my daughter making the call. So it's her call.
Listen, Stevie, if I was your caregiver and they said, we need $4,000 to help Steve. Huh, fuck that. Down you go, man.
Yeah.
Down you go.
Pull that plug.
Oh boy, what a way to open the show. That's
yeah, crazy. That's a very
those
weird
cards way. And letters coming
yes,
in.
Yes, steveWproject@outlook.com. A lot of people complaining over the weekend that maybe it's time to pull the plug on old Ron McLean.
Yeah, he went a little goofy there.
Yeah, that was a little goofy, I thought, all in all. I mean, he had an interview with Bobby McMahon of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was one of the stars of the game on the weekend, and McLean, knowing that this guy's from Wainwright, Alberta, decided to go into a history lesson of 80-year-old Glenn Sather's mother, who had a dress shop in Wainwright, and like actually asking the kid, are you aware of this history? He's on national TV. This is his big moment to talk about the game and his dream yeah. come true. And that's what Ron hit him with. And he took no shortage of flack for that. I'll play the clip right here, okay?
Yeah.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel, and in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my back, which was a style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war. The only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including a great painter, a cleaner, even bought ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best, its very best on picture day, all part of Glenn's services. He can do the same for you. Visit Glenn today at glennwalton.com.
There's no doubt in my mind that the hook for Ron McLean is this unbelievable peripheral knowledge he has of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything. I bet he gets a ton of emails going, that was a cool little thing you brought in there about the kids' college days. You know, it's 95% of the time it's pertinent.
Yes.
Right. He's amazing. He's amazing. So I think what happened there was, that wasn't amazing, Ronnie. Okay, like the guy, like you know, Ron, that's what he does. He tries to inject something in there a little different. He doesn't analyze the games when you have a panel of experts. He doesn't try and do that. And so he's smart. You know, Ron doesn't last, man. You know, he's been around there a long, long time. The other one, though, is it's a completely non-veteran move, Stevie, by perhaps spending a couple seconds before you go live with the kids saying, are you aware of Glenn Sather and some sort of haberdashery that is
yeah
1,000-year-old mother? And the kid's going to go, no. And there we go. Well, we just leave that alone, Stevie. You taught me that.
Yeah, you absolutely. That. But I think you're right, though.
Ronnie. So he makes the what's just great is I'm thinking of Bieksa listening to this, right? Going, because Bieksa's really good. He's really good. Like, he gives Ronnie a hard time. The other night they were talking, it might have been the same night. They were talking about refereeing, and Bieksa went, well, I don't know, Ron, you're a referee, you know, like a little dig, you know, it's like pipe up, you know, cause, so I just looked at the panel there when you got to look at it, folks, and they'll just look into the camera going, what the fuck are you talking about?
Should we jump in here? Is he losing his mind? What's going on? It really was a Cliff Clavin moment for sure. And to your point about asking the kid ahead of time, I really just think he can't control it now. I think he didn't plan to talk about it. He just heard Wainwright Albert and it popped into his head and there was no stopping it. It was just like this flow of consciousness that he had to share with the world. And it really is like Cliff Clavin from Cheers. If you remember that mailman character from Cheers at the bar, constantly coming out with the non sequiturs, right? A little known fact there, Normie, the brown wombat of the Serengeti or whatever, and just boring everybody around him. He's got a bit of what Cliff Clavin had going on.
Here's the other thing, Stevie. If you're going to come from the outside, okay, all right, you're going to, you know, it's like, what can I think of? Okay, so Arnold Palmer came to town, Stevie, to play an exhibition round here years ago.
Right.
When I was on air. At K-Rock, a station you audition. So I caddied for Arnold Palmer, right? So there's the story, right? It's like, by the way, Arnold Palmer, the 1-2-3 hit. Arnold Palmer's come to town, whammo, okay? I knew Arnold Palmer, too. How'd you know him? Bang, I caddied for him, right? It's a great story, great one.
Yep.
So Ronnie, that's kind of the basic rule, Ronnie. So you're going to have two or three things here that connect this interview with the guy. How about Ronnie? It was like 9 out of 10 that had no connection.
Yeah.
First of all, Glenn Sather has nothing to do with the story. Glenn Sather's mother has more or less to do with the story. And Glenn Sather's mother having a dress shop had nothing to do with the story and the kids. So you had one hook, Wainwright.
Yeah. That was it.
And the story isn't that it was in Wainwright, Ron. He was trying to make it that way, but you know, he had 4 out of 5 things, Steve, that had nothing to do with his little segment.
Yeah. And even if it was a skate shop in Wainwright, you know, it's still like the guy is 80 years old. Glenn Sather is 80, and his mom would probably be, if she were still alive today and probably isn't, would be about 110. What is a 25-year-old kid have anything in common with something that happened 90 years ago, for God's sake?
Excuse me.
That was just all kinds of weird. I don't want to bury Ron McLean because I'm still a fan of his. And I've said this several times now. Less is more.
Right.
You've got the analysts there. Just ask questions. Be Ron McLean. You don't need to continually go down non sequitur lane here.
I take everything back I said about Ron. I like that guy.
Well, there's nothing. I get if you have an issue with him on the air, fine. Maybe you want somebody else, but I don't know. He's the nicest, most gentlemanly guy in the business.
Totally.
All right.
Totally. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Boston Bruins had an interesting person come in to read their lineup card. That seemed to be a trend that's come along in the last 5 years or so, where guys come in and read the lineup card. I'm not sure why that's a thing exactly. Like, the players know full well, okay, that line starting, this pairing starting. But I guess it's something that's born from social media in the never-ending pursuit of content. And so the Bruins brought in Celine Dion to read the lineup card. For starters, she's a long-professed Montreal Canadiens fan. So that was kind of an interesting choice.
The biggest rival would be Boston.
I would say.
After the Leafs,
right there, for sure. So she comes in and reads the lineup card, and it was, I'm not going to play it here, but it was, I played it for you, and, it was just weird across the board. Like, she started out with, there was a half, I'm not sure which player it was, but he was half dressed. And so she immediately goes, you know, thanks for being ready for me for later. At some point she seemed to be making a move as if she was, I don't know, fondling testicles, like, oh, I don't know what that was about.
Hope you're a biter. What was that all about?
There's a couple of moments where she's saying a biter. And
she's saying fighter, Steve, and we just didn't hear right, or is it biter?
No, because one was a bulldog and one was grizz, as in grizzlick. Yeah. And then at one point, she's right out of the gate, Danton Heinen, she starts singing to him going, I know you're going to play well. Like, no, his name's not Hino. His name is Danton Heinen. So
right.
Maybe Hino is his nickname. I don't know. Because he was using nicknames, but I have no idea what it is. But the whole thing was just a bizarre choice and weirdly delivered.
Yeah. Here's one of the things, Steve. Couple of things. Okay. Yeah. And I got an example of why it doesn't work. Okay. So this thing kicks off whenever a few years ago, and it's cool. Right, the first time you see it, go, look at this, is unbelievable. You got Justin Bieber came in and read the starting lineup. Right,
yeah,
never seen that before, never heard of it inside the room. Fantastic. End of story, Steve. Mm-hmm. Okay, end of story. It's like you're gonna walk into work the next day and go, I got this great idea. We're gonna have celebrities or other people come in and read the lineup, like kids. And okay, well, they did that last night.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But we should really run with this forever, okay? It's done, Stevie. It's just one of those things that's done. It's the equivalent, Warnsy. Do you remember years ago, it was hilarious. There was a cop. It went viral. A cop was driving around. His little dash camera's on. I don't think he knew it. And he was singing a Taylor Swift song. And it was hilarious. The guy knew every word. I don't think he knew he was on there, and then they figured it out after. It was like one of her famous songs, and it was priceless. It was absolutely priceless. Then all of a sudden, everyone, like 10 minutes later, 70 people are jumping on there pretending they're not on camera, right? It was like, it's been done. Okay, yeah. It's done. Stevie, it's a one and out.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a one and out.
Even still, don't you just watch most of those videos now and kind of go, there's a lack of sincerity there. I feel like
totally.
You know, yeah. Either it's been done a million times, or it's just reenacted. It's not real. You know, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. Well, you know what? I can now, because I assume everything online now is totally fake, especially with artificial intelligence.
Right.
You've been seeing this Kate Middleton stuff, right?
Oh yeah, terrible.
Well, yeah. She poses with her kids. And everybody susses that out as something that was photoshopped. It was a picture that actually came from, I think it was Vogue magazine, where she was on the cover, and they put her face on a model's face who was with the kids. And then she came out with a video and shared the news that she's dealing with cancer. But now everybody's going at that with, look at all of this. This is all artificial intelligence and not real again. I have no idea. I'll assume that I assume the news is real and everything, but I don't know what to. My point is, it's hard to know what's anything that's real online or not.
I talked to a guy. I did a life story of a guy. I was telling you, there, O'Toole. Remember the O'Toole's restaurant?
Okay.
Yep. Guy's a buddy of mine. So I was down in Toronto, and I did a story. And he's a computer whiz. That's where he made all his dough. And he's right up to speed. Right, right up to speed on all this stuff. And AI is the talk of the town, right? AI is the talk of the town. And Stevie, not only now can they, what they perfected was, the one that's on there a lot is Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. Lost a bunch of weight. Okay. And she's on there now promoting some sort of weight loss thing. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, I don't believe this.
Right.
I don't think she's on there talking. There's no way she's doing this. It just didn't seem to fit. However, I'm told it's not her, but it's her. Not only the other thing, Stevie, is they couldn't quite match the lips, you know, forming the same words. Like you look at it, you go, well, this is off. It's like it's dubbed. But now they've matched it. Okay. Now they've matched it. Their voice, their lips, they're talking. And then a guy told me that's all fake.
Right.
I'm like, scary, man.
It basically changes everything in terms of video evidence in a court of law. You know, you can have a, there's Jim Jerome, and there he is, killing a guy. But
yeah,
artificial intelligence, you put that together, and the world is getting funky for sure. Anyway, let's get back to sports. I don't know how we got here, but we did. My Ottawa Senators beat your Edmonton Oilers on Sunday night, James. I didn't hate that. That was all right. Sens fell behind 3-1 and scored four unanswered goals for the second time in the weekend. They did that against New Jersey as well on Saturday. And somehow, some way, the Sens are victors 5-3 over your Oilers. And Brady Tkachuk, the team captain, announced that he is going forth and multiplying. Announced that on the weekend. His wife, Emma.
Tell me this, Stevie. What's the word in the street with Jacques Martin? Is this guy just, did he come into this thing saying, I'll do it, but until you find someone?
I don't know if he came into it thinking he might have a chance at the job next year or not, but it's come out here, I don't know, about a month ago, it came out that Jacques will be one and done. He's just sort of a Band-Aid solution for now. Not sure about Daniel Offertson, his assistant, but they are looking for someone new. And I have to think that it's someone that has a job this season. A lot of people talk about Craig Berube or a guy like Dean Evason or your guy in Edmonton.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
If it is one of those guys, they're there for the taking right now. And I think that wouldn't be a bad play since the Sens are out of it anyway. Got about, I guess they have 11 games, 12, something like that. You know, have a new coach in here and sort of lay down the law on how it's going to be here in what would be sort of an ad hoc extended preseason, really.
Right.
Let's go to a little golf. The Masters, a tradition unlike any other.
No, because I like to talk golf. You got to give a little something to my girlfriend, Rachel Holman.
All right.
As the crowd starts to come alive here in the Swiss, looking if they have any options at all other than just a handshake. And that's it. Canada, the Holman Empire, will rule the world. Canada is your Canadian women's curling champion.
Congratulations. The Holman Empire conquers the world again.
Oh, good one. Good one. I like
the
that.
The Holman Empire.
Yeah, I get it. Because that's the Roman. It's supposed to be the Roman Empire.
Right?
Yeah. It took me a second there, but I got it. The shot heard around the world, Stevie. I watched. You know, I do this curling show, Inside Curling. I do that, but I like watching any sport where it's a sudden death deal.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And so anyway, I'm watching the game. So, Stevie, allow me to set this up, Steve.
Okay.
Anyone who knows anything about curling, it's all about the hammer. Okay. You want to have the hammer. You want to have last rock. So Rachel is down one, Steve, going into the 10th end. Okay. It's the 9th end. She's down one. She has the hammer. Got the final shot. She's lying one, Steve, already. Okay. And she can draw to lie two. Easy shot for them. It's like a 3-footer. Okay. 2.5-footer. And she can lie two. Stevie, there's a rock though, just outside of the house at the front. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they start to float this idea of, you know what she can do though, is she can just tick that rock. Okay. Throw her stone, her last rock. She's got the last rock. She can tick that rock and then that would promote that rock into the house. And then her rock would also, you know, deflect off Steve and come into the house. Thereby, Steve scoring three and not just two. Impossible shot. But she tries it. And Steve? It didn't work. She fucked it up.
Oh, no. That story went nowhere.
No, she pulled it off.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it was
great. And then she's up two playing 10, and then she just fucking put her foot on the throat. And won easily. Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
The shot heard around the world, Stevie.
And she made a bunch. It's not like that was the only great shot. It was probably the best of the bunch.
Yes.
But if you're watching the highlights, and that's all I did. I didn't watch any of the matches, but I did watch regularly the sports highlights. And man, it was just, she was, Jara in the back in the day used to call her the assassin. And
yes.
The name held true, I think. Just did she miss any shots all week? I mean, my God.
She mopped the field, right? She only lost one game in a deep round robin.
Every big shot, it just seemed like she made it.
It was cool, man. I watched it. It was great. It was good. Loved it.
Yep. Congratulations to Ottawa's Rachel Holman and her rink, which is not all Ottawa anymore, but it's we're still taking credit. Although she's now residing in your province, so I'm not sure how to. Did you hear Terry Jones, who I think you know a little bit?
Yeah, I know Terry.
He said the worst backhanded comment about women's curling ever. First he says Team Holman's from Alberta. They're there now, but they're Ottawa's, obviously. But then he throws in there, it's like, women's world curling is suddenly watchable. As watchable as the men's game, right? But basically a backhanded compliment, you know, you're basically saying that everything that happened before this was not watchable. So he got a bit, he got a little bit of grief for being misogynistic a bit.
Well, he's done that before. You know,
right.
He's done it before, So.
Did you see any of the NHL rule changes before we get to the golf? I wanted to mention those as well.
I didn't see the NHL. I saw this change, though, which I think is going to be very, in the NFL, that's going to be very difficult to referee. They call it Steve, the hip. They're going to ban a tackle that's called a hip lock or a.
It's a hip drop tackle. And said they could not ignore an injury rate for the technique that's 20 to 25 times higher than that for standard tackles. I guess it's one of those deals where you're basically taking a guy down and your hip's going into him. And at that stage, knees are buckling aplenty.
Yeah, you're falling on the guy. They're saying, you know, you can't grab a guy by the waist and fall on his legs. It's like, well, the fuck? How am I going to stop that?
It's very hard.
Yeah, it's the stat is interesting, though. They're right. It's causing this 25% increase in injuries.
Right.
But how do you avoid it in a high speed? What do you do?
Yeah.
Wrap your hands around the guy's waist and then let him go. And by the way, Stevie, unanimous 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
I see this thing as backfiring totally. But anyway, yeah,
it's a tough deal. I mean, they brought in the horse collar tackle. You know, that came in, I don't know, at least 10 years ago. And you can see why, because that's dangerous, but it's hard. You know, you're chasing a guy for your life and you just reach out and you want to try and prevent the touchdown. You grab him and you get him by the back of the shoulder pads. Oh, I get a flag for that.
I just don't see how they're going to be able to referee that thing. But what's the NHL rule changes?
Well, the NHL GM meetings happened last week and they've made a few changes here and there. Nothing dramatic. They were considering a bunch of different things. You know, 3-on-3, maybe it's time to look at an over and back rule. They wanted to maybe look at that, but they didn't make any changes to the 3-on-3. What they've done is they've actually expanded review a little farther so that you can now review puck over glass. You can now review high stick. You know, was it friendly fire or was the other guy actually guilty of a high stick?
You hate this. You must hate this.
Oh, I feel as frustrated as I ever did, even though we have video review.
I get the puck over glass. If there was no penalty, well, every team that's on the penalty kill will just flip it over the fucking glass. I get it. I get that one. But I know, I'm just saying, Warrensy ain't liking reviews.
No.
Okay? Warrensy ain't liking reviews at all, maybe.
No, sir. No, the puck over glass, I'm not saying don't punish it. I think punish it the way you would icing, because it's exactly the same level of sin. So I'm not saying don't punish it. I'm just saying 2-minute minors are a bit much.
That's a good idea. You're onto something there. If you flip it over the glass, there's a face-off down in your end still.
Exactly like an icing. Same punishment.
Yeah, right.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Finishing it up with golf. John Rahm got his Masters meal all ready.
Yeah.
And by the way, April 11th is the big weekend. Oh, yes.
Are you feigning interest in this or not?
I am absolutely. The Masters is the one where I'm all in, romanticizing the shit out of the sport of golf when Masters weekend comes around.
Yep. Yeah. I was there, Stevie. I was there 2008. I used to call in sick when they started showing the Thursday, Friday rounds of the Masters, which, boy, is that dating myself? Do you imagine a young kid going, how old are you, Jim? What do you mean?
But John Rahm put together the one of the most elaborate Masters dinners of all time. I don't know if you saw the menu, but it was, you know, this is a world where, you know, Tiger Woods at Cheeseburgers one year. And, but yeah, no, he's clearly got.
Way to go, Tiger.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a culinary side to him. Well, I mean, it just looks like a high-end restaurant
type. Yeah, I saw it. I don't understand one item.
Yeah, I see a ribeye in there. I'll take that. But there's a lot in there. I'm going to pass on that because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. I would. I'll tell you what I did do, Steve. When I read that menu, there's places on my bucket list that I want to travel to, and it was Spain. Yeah, that ain't happening anymore after I read the shit that he's putting on the menu.
You don't want an acorn-fed Iberian ham?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. Cancel. Get Air Canada on the line. We're canceling the trip. Jesus Christ.
Have those pigs been eating acorns?
Oh.
Diajabal con trufa negra.
Yeah.
Then you got your lentejas estafadas, which is basically lentil stew.
Fahadi, yeah. If I had a dime, Steve, for every time I had the lechetes asas versus fadis.
Yes. Your Navarro white asparagus.
You're trying too hard, John.
Yeah. I'm refined.
You're trying too hard.
It's all that money he made in on the Live Tour. He's now really cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
Real high end. Really, really uptown.
John's going to be eating by himself. I'm getting together with all the other green jackets going, fuck this. Let's go over to Hooters. Come on. You know?
Yeah. Can I get some steak and mashed potatoes? How about that?
I'm going to take you to the Masters, Stevie, one day.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm going to get a couple of tickets. Yep. And we're going to go to Augusta.
We'll do the show.
By the way, Stevie, I'm not blowing smoke here.
Uh-huh.
The tournament this past weekend, I think it was called the Valspar. And you know, the secret to the Masters is you know, amongst other things, you know, that you got to have your A game. Is peaking at the right time, Stevie?
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb, slight limb. So if you look at the final results of the Valspar, you're going to see a whack of Canadians in there. Okay? You're going to see a whack of guys who made the cut. Like when I say a whack of Canadian, I mean four or five, maybe six guys. I think five of them made the cut, including Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes, Svensson. I don't know whether Nick made it or not, but
I got the list.
Go ahead.
This was tied for third, Mackenzie Hughes.
Yeah.
Then Adam Hadwin tied for fifth. And then you have to go down to Svensson and Sloan, both at 49, and then Nick Taylor at 64.
Yeah, so I don't know if Nick just makes the cut. But also leading up to this, there's been some really good golf by Canadians.
Yeah.
Out on the limb here to say, I think one of them is going to vie for the championship.
Right.
I think one, two of them. I don't know why, Stevie. They're playing pretty good. Adam Hadwin's good. Mac Hughes turned it around a little bit this weekend. He did place top five. So that's my thing.
You never know, because I mean, the guy that won the Valspar is a 36-year-old first time winner in Peter Malnati. Who the hell is that? I don't know, but he's out there with his bucket hat and just a guy. But he goes out and finishes the minus 12. And the point is, with golf, there's just so many freakishly good golfers out there that you've never heard of that can, on any given Sunday, get it done.
Yeah, you got to be a deep fan to know Malnati, which, embarrassingly, I do. He won the last time he won was in 2015. He won in 20, but 9 years ago.
Right, right.
And there's the good show, Stevie, on Netflix. Swing something. Yeah. Yeah, they take you inside with, and Malnati might have been one of the stories.
Cool.
Anyway.
The guy I love is Patrick Harrington, who won on the weekend as well on the senior tour. And I love that he's really getting loose with his social media content, because that is a guy that I would want to learn the sport of golf from. He's given all kinds of great advice. One of the big things that I'm actually going to work on because of Patrick Harrington and watching an 8-minute video of him is spending a few minutes with my grip. He said, don't even think about anything else. If you're not confident in your grip and you're doing different things after, you know, every other hole trying something new, you should just stop, because you get a grip down, a good consistent grip that you can use every single time. That's going to bring your golf, your score down like nothing else.
Right. Good. Yeah. Starts with the grip.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's great.
He did a hell of a video about teaching young kids. I don't know if you saw that how should you get your kid involved, or which he sort of stopped right away saying, it's not up to you as a parent whether your kid gets involved. It's up to your kid.
Yeah.
Whether he get, you know, he started off that way, and what he would do at the range with them and stuff. It's really interesting. Yeah. I couldn't be a bigger fan. I agree with you. Love it.
Make sure you leave the golf course before the kid's ready. Make sure you go have a Coke with your kid afterward as well, because that'll be what endures for the kid moving forward when they're older. They'll remember that time they had with their parents. Yeah, it was really, really good. We'll call it quits right there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with us. We want to remind you that we have a website, stevewproject.com. No, wait. That's it. stevewproject.com.
Did you get their website wrong?
Well, I was thinking about the email address. I was teeing that up in my mind, and I got a clog. I got a train of thought clog. Anyway, the email address is steveproject@outlook.com.
Guy says you're a bit of a puck hog, Stevie.
Who, me?
Yep.
Puck hog.
I did a life story. Stevie, as you know, I was too busy to even see you there. I did four of them when I was down east. Dave Jansen.
Oh.
He says he's played a bunch of hockey with you.
Well, when I was 17, I don't think I played with him since I was 17, 18 years old.
Anyway, he said you probably still have the puck. I'm kidding.
How dare you?
He said to say hi to you, Davey Jansen. Big fan of the show.
Nice.
Big fan of the show. Yep.
Excellent. Yeah, I haven't seen, the last time I played hockey was this is juvenile. We had juvenile back in the day, and juvenile champions, mind you. But yeah, Dave Jansen was on my team back then, and I literally have not seen the guy. But he's a big podcast listener. I've not seen the guy since the last time we played hockey as teenagers. So,
anyway, you grew up in Richmond, right?
Correct. He was in Stittsville.
Do you know, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, growing up in Richmond, did you know that Jacques Martin?
Here we go.
Jacques Martin's great uncle, Steve, okay, worked part-time at a, back in the early 20s, at a gas station.
Oh. And?
Did you know that?
I did not, no.
You're not picking up what I'm laying down, Steve. I was giving you a Ronnie McLean there.
Oh, God. I just assumed you were going to a Minnesota.
You never miss that shit.
I think myself and everybody listening right now.
It's called a callback, Steve. It's a callback.
I get that, but I'm guaranteeing you this, that myself and every person listening right now did not think you were going there. They thought you were going down Minnesota North Star Lane.
Right. Right. But no. No, Stevie. The Minnesota North Star Lane is... I always leave a little plum out there. I always leave a little thing that you'll know it's coming.
All right.
Right? Because you know it's coming because I'll go like this. You know what a lot of people don't know, Steve, right? You know as soon as I say that.
Yes.
Okay? As soon as I say that, we forget that. Everyone forgets the time Celine Dion was with the Minnesota North Stars.
Right. Okay? Got it.
This was different.
I got to show up for rehearsals more often, I guess.
Yeah, you got to. Come on. Remember the whole thing about Ron McLean and Glenn Sather and those mothers having, you know, I gave it the.
I get you.
You know, you grew up in Richmond where Jacques Martin's great uncle in the 20s pumped gas. Huh?
Yes, that was relevant.
And you're going to go like this. No, I didn't.
No. Right? I don't know that history, as the kid said. Okay, well, that was a shameful ending to the program, but we still
terrible.
Appreciate
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we're going to go get a drink and call it a day.
Some rule changes.
No, We'll be back next week. We're going to try and get this thing out more religious with our timing. Mondays, can we agree? Sometime on the weekend, we'll get our Monday show done weekly. Because I get emails from people like, what's going on? What kind of willy-nilly outfit are you running over there, Warren? The show's got your name on it and is coming out whenever it feels like it. Outstandingly unacceptable.
I know. How do you think I'm getting it, Steve, where I might go 6 weeks without doing a Suspendables and yet tell everyone, no, we're still doing it.
6 weeks? Wow.
Oh, not six, but we've done shows recently, but Suspendables is alive and well, folks. Yeah. We're doing a show this week again.
Unless you don't. Unless you fall asleep.
No, we're going to do a show. Okay. I fell asleep in the Sens game. Yeah,
all right. Enjoy your night, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.